It's Ultimate Fighting Weekly with your host, Chris Toplak.
Welcome to episode 14 of Ultimate Fighting Weekly. My name is Chris Toplak. Thanks for joining me. On the program today, we're going to be talking about Lyoto Machida, Alexander Gustafsson, post-UFC 159, some fight announcements, some injuries, Tito Ortiz with a really, really bizarre statement, and on top of that, we'll go back to Ask the Top. But first, the weekly recap.
The UFC weekly recap.
Following UFC 159, Dana White went on to say that the winner between Junior Dos Santos versus Mark Hunt at UFC 160 will receive a title shot against the winner of Cain Velasquez and Bigfoot Silva. Great announcement. I think that was expected. I don't see Mark Hunt getting past Junior Dos Santos, but weirder things have happened. The winner of that definitely deserves a title shot. I know that there was some talk that Mark Hunt would need another opponent to get through before getting a shot. That makes no sense, given the fact that if he beats Junior Dos Santos, who is, I believe, the clear-cut number one contender, he deserves it. So it's going to be a great stand-up battle, I believe. Mark Hunt does have heavy hands, a great chin, but Junior Dos Santos has the combinations. I think he's going to take him down. So it's great to see that the winner will likely face Cain Velasquez. But again, upset in the making, who knows, with Bigfoot Silva. You just never know. Alexander Gustafsson versus Lyoto Machida. I've been talking about this for weeks. Well, it looks like Alexander Gustafsson has made it clear that he'd rather fight John Jones next. But if the UFC wants him to fight Lyoto Machida, he'd step up. He said that last weekend he challenged, when Lyoto Machida actually challenged Gustafsson. So Gustafsson was saying, you know what, I would accept that fight if John Jones will be inactive for a while. I was talking about Tito Ortiz, and he appeared on Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour, and it was just really bizarre because Tito Ortiz has had a lot of praise for John Jones in the past. He went as far as to say that John Jones will likely go down as the greatest of all time. And for sure, the greatest light heavyweight of all time. Well, this was his response to a possible showdown with John Jones if both were in their prime. He says, I do, of course. I think I dominate him. Takedowns, of course. Clinch, striking, I don't know, big heart. I think John Jones is good, though, man. If anybody's going to beat my record, I would like it to be him. I don't think there's anybody in this sport right now with the technique and skills that he has. I think he's very mellow-mannered. He's a very soft-spoken guy, but his fighting shows how good he really is. I have nothing but respect for him. But he was saying that, you know what, I know that I could beat him. And again, a bizarre statement from Tito Ortiz. And there's been that talk. Of course, John Jones has tied Tito Ortiz's record in terms of light heavyweight title defenses. He's going to surpass it more than likely. But if they were in their prime, Tito Ortiz would be absolutely dismantled by John Jones. Keep in mind, Tito Ortiz is the same guy that got dominated by Randy Couture, got dominated twice by Chuck Liddell, and that was supposedly in his prime. So I really don't see John Jones having any trouble there. Taking a look at some fight announcements and injuries as well. I'll start with the injury bug. Unfortunately, it hit Konstantin Filipou. He's out of his fight against Jacare Zouza at UFC on FX8, and that's taking place in just a few weeks. So it's a shame. That would have been a great middleweight matchup. Unfortunately, Costa Filipou is out. Looks like Jacare will now be facing Chris Camozzi. That's a big step up in competition for Camozzi. Zouza actually comes over from Strikeforce. He looked great. He had a submission victory against Ed Herman in the final Strikeforce event. So I'm looking forward to seeing him debut. He's a BJJ black belt. Unbelievable on the ground, improved striking. I'd like to see what kind of mark he can make in the middleweight division. Kenny Robinson will step up for TJ Wahlberger against Sean Pearson at UFC 161. So a couple injuries. You know what? Recently, knock on wood, there have not been a ton of injuries, especially in big main events. So I'm okay with this. As long as we can get some decent matchups in place and have some backup plans, I'm fine with that. I want to touch on this matchup for a second. There's a lot of controversy on Twitter, both from journalists and fans alike. Damian Maia, winner of his last three, is matched up against Josh Koscheck, loser of his last two, and that's being targeted for UFC 163 this August. That matchup makes little to no sense. I have a lot of faith in Sean Shelby and also Joe Silva when it comes to the matchmaking. But I could not hate that fight anymore. Damian Maia has outstanding victories over three welterweights. Josh Koscheck lost a split decision to Johnny Hendricks, and he had a TKO loss against Robbie Lawler. I don't know what he's going to be in there against Damian Maia for. My theory, and the theory along with many others, is that they just want Josh Koscheck to lose, and they can cut him because they pay him a lot of money, and they just don't think he's worth it anymore. Josh Koscheck, I think if he does lose this fight, which he likely will, I'm not completely counting him out, but Damian Maia has just looked unstoppable in his past three fights. That'll be the end of the road for Josh Koscheck, losing three in a row, and as I mentioned, he's a heavy price tag there. And I don't think the UFC is comfortable paying that, especially when they complained about paying John Fitch's show salary and just everything. So I don't see Josh Koscheck lasting much longer in the UFC, especially feeding him to the wolves, so to speak, being Damian Maia. So I think Damian Maia is going to cruise past Koscheck. But the problem with this is that it doesn't really move Damian Maia any closer to a title shot with this victory. I mean, Josh Koscheck is now at the bottom of the heap in the top 10. What do you do with Damian Maia at this point? I mean, he's clearly shown that he is a top 10 welterweight. Easily a top 5 welterweight if he can get past Josh Koscheck. A lot of people were clamoring for a Damian Maia-Rory McDonald matchup. That would have been awesome, but we do have Rory McDonald and Jake Ellenberger, which is equally as amazing. So I don't love this fight. I'm sure Damian Maia is going to get by Josh Koscheck, but I don't know why in the blue hell they made something like this. Another fight that was announced that I think is very intriguing, actually. Matt Brown taking on Thiago Silva. And it looks like that's going to be for UFC on Fox Sports 1, that debut card. I believe that's going to be in August as well. So that's a tough matchup for both men. Matt Brown is a scrapper. You've seen that recently. I believe he's won 5 in a row. He's looked outstanding. He just had a TKO victory over Jordan Meehan. And then Thiago Silva, he struggled as of late. But if he can get back in the win column over Matt Brown, perhaps momentum could be back on his side. So Thiago Silva, still a lot of upside for him. You know, finally, he brought on a great coach for strength and conditioning there, Mike Dolce, to cut down in weight because he was having some weight issues, especially welterweight. He's a big guy. I mean, even though he's 5'9", he's jacked. So he's having problems cutting weights. So it looks like he's finally working that out, working out the kinks, taking on Matt the Immortal Brown. Should be a good fight. Chael Sonnen has recently called out Wanderlei Silva. That was on UFC Tonight. He's not done. He's saying, I want to stick around at 205, and I want to take on the Axe Murderer. There's some bad blood there. They've had some choice words against each other. You can check out Chael Sonnen's Twitter. You can check out Wanderlei Silva's Twitter and see that they just keep going back and forth. I think that would be a great matchup. It's just a fun one. It doesn't do much for the division. We know that both men will never get a title shot at this point. Wanderlei Silva would have a long ways to go if he wanted one. Chael Sonnen is absolutely counted out at this point. So it's just a fun fight. That's all that it truly is. That's the purpose that it serves. There'd be some great trash talk. Wanderlei Silva has some of the best fan base in the UFC. Chael Sonnen has an amazing fan base, too. They're going to both go back and forth. I think it'll be a great fight. In terms of that fight, Chael Sonnen probably would just be able to dominate Wanderlei Silva on the ground. But the thing about Silva is that if he keeps his standing, he can put anybody to sleep. So that's the only way he's going to win that fight is if he keeps his standing, protects his chin, and just swings for the fences. He could catch Chael Sonnen, and that could be it. Well, it looks like some fighters were removed from the UFC. There have been 8 removed from UFC.com. That is a surefire way to say, bye-bye, you have no job anymore. Philip Dufresne, Chris Sprang, Bissam Youssef, along with some tough contestants as well, Jimmy Colin, Kevin, and Gilbert, also Adam as well, who had that vicious knockout against him from Uriah Hall. So all of those guys have been cut from the UFC. A lot of them are still young, could still make their way back to the UFC. So it's not like it's completely the end of the road here. They still have a ways to go, but they can make it back up if they win a couple of fights in other smaller organizations. Chuck Congo and the UFC have parted ways. He's one of the longest heavyweight veterans there. I believe Frank Mir and Gabriel Gonzaga outrank him in that sense. But Congo was offered a 4-fight deal before the Nelson fight, but he turned it down because apparently they just could not agree on terms. So He was offered a different deal after the fight. He said no. But then also recently he said on his Facebook fan page that he's still connected to the UFC. Don't worry about it. Don't speculate. So kind of getting some mixed feelings here as to what's going on and mixed news and rumors. Is he still there? Is he gone? I'm not sure. His management was saying he will definitely fight outside of the UFC. No idea. Czech Congo has lost the past couple of fights, by the way, and he had a very lackluster victory over Matt Mitrione. So I don't know what he has to offer, if anything, at this point. I mean, I think he's 37 years old. He's had a solid career, but he is the ultimate gatekeeper, not only in the heavyweight division, but perhaps all the UFC. He's just a guy that, against lower-level competition and mid-level competition, looks outstanding. Against guys ranked in the top 10, he looks awful. So I don't know if it's a big loss for the UFC. He always looked the part of a top contender, but he never acted it. And I think I heard that from another journalist on Twitter. I could not agree anymore. I've been saying that for months and even years. UFC featherweight Robbie Peralta received a six-month suspension after testing positive for marijuana, and that was following a unanimous decision loss on UFC on Fuel 9 in Stockholm, Sweden. So it looks like he'll be taking some time off there. 6 months, that's a very hefty suspension for testing positive for marijuana. Really, I think this is just getting a little intense. I mean, if it's banned, it's banned. You shouldn't be smoking it, taking it, whatever the case may be, whatever drugs are involved. But still, 6 months seems a little hefty, especially when Nick Diaz had a year. That was just ridiculous. It looks like Reebok might be the latest major brand to get into mixed martial arts, and they may find a new home inside the octagon. So it looks like the UFC and Reebok have a deal coming up. Dana White was saying he's really excited about this. A couple of fighters have been sponsored by Reebok, or will be. One of them being, I believe, Johnny Hendricks. So, hey, that's a great deal. Reebok is a huge brand, and the more they can come to the UFC, the better. I mean, they have Harley Davidson, they have Bud Light, they have a lot of great brands who are associated with the UFC. The more, the better.
Quote of the week.
Quote of the week comes from Rich Franklin, who is talking about his future plans in the UFC. He went on to say, I'll just give you a little quick piece here. I have to check my contract. I have at least one more fight, possibly two more fights left on my contract. I've always said I would definitely fulfill my contract. So looking at that, I at least have that much. I'm not saying I'm only planning on fighting once or twice more. But as soon as I get this stuff going on my end with this juice business and things are kind of moving in the direction that they should be moving, then I'm going to be more focused on, instead of recreationally training, back on specific fight training. So it looks like Rich Franklin may be fighting towards the end of the year. I have mixed emotions about this. I've said on a previous edition of Ultimate Fighting Weekly, I would prefer it if Rich Franklin just called it a career. He is a surefire Hall of Famer. There's zero doubt about that. He was one of the guys who really brought UFC onto the map. I'll fully admit it. When I started to get into the UFC, he was one of the guys I first started watching and really enjoying. I remember it was George St. Pierre and Rich Franklin. I was watching tapes with friends, and this was back in about 2004, 2005, mostly 2004. And I really liked his style. I mean, his breakout performance, of course, was against Ken Shamrock that really got him noticed. Rich Franklin is a hell of a guy, very classy, has a lot of dignity, always shows up to fight. But that vicious knockout by the hands of Kung Lee, I don't know if I want to see him anymore inside the octagon. He has nothing left to prove, but if he does have one more fight, I don't know who they would even match him up against. But still, I have a lot of respect for Rich Franklin. I just don't think he should be continuing fighting inside the UFC. They could give him a nice cozy job and he would be just fine. He's the definition of a company man, that's for sure.
He's here to answer your questions. It's time for Ask the Tom.
This one comes from JJ. Who would you like to see signed to the UFC? Off the top of my head, there's about four people I can think of. The first being Eddie Alvarez, who is in a contract battle with Viacom and Bellator. You can actually check out Eddie Alvarez on Twitter. He's had some very honest things to say about Viacom. Not very pleased with them. He's just saying that they know nothing about MMA. And Viacom, of course, owns Spike TV. Furthermore, they own Bellator. So he's just saying, you know what? I just want to fight for the UFC. I'd love to see Eddie Alvarez. He's a very exciting fighter. He's great at 155. He could probably even drop down to 145. I would love to see him inside the UFC. Let's hope that he can finally have a chance to sign the dotted line and step inside the octagon. I'd love to see Josh Barnett return to the UFC. He was in Strikeforce, had to stay there. Of course, he left the UFC many years ago, was suspended as he was the world champion. He defeated Randy Couture, and then he was suspended, and then he left the UFC. I believe that was after, like, UFC 36, so that was way back in the day. And, you know, he fought in different organizations all across the world, but I would still like to see him back for at least one more fight. Very solid chin, decent striker, great wrestler, excellent on the ground with submissions. I'd like to see him back for at least one or two more fights inside the UFC. I'm not a big Bellator guy, but a couple guys I'd like to see from Bellator would be probably Michael Chandler. I think he's a great, has a lot of upside, and also Pat Curran would be a fantastic addition to the featherweight division as well. So those are just a few fighters I would like to see inside the UFC. Of course, there are many that would say, oh, there's a lot of unknown guys that you should have mentioned, Chris, but, you know, those are just four off the top of my head, and those are some well-rounded, great opponents who would be great additions to the UFC roster. This is from Crystal. Who is your least favorite fighter? I'm assuming she means in the UFC. I'd probably have to say off the top of my head, Yushin Okami. Never been a big fan. I find that his style is just boring. Literally puts me to sleep every single time he fights. Every time he comes out, I hope he loses. I don't know why. Maybe it's the fact that he just lays and prays. And he mostly gets by on the fact that he's a very sizable middleweight. He's huge. Cuts a lot of weight to get down to 185. But I'm just not a fan of him. I don't think I've ever seen him in an exciting fight in my life. You know, the only time he's looked good was when Anderson Silva, you know, beat the holy hell out of him at UFC 134. Not a huge Yushin Okami fan. There's a couple of people I could throw onto that list as well, but that's the first name that pops into my head. I don't even write these down. I just read the questions, and I think about whatever pops into my head. So Yushin Okami would be my answer there. That will do it for Ultimate Fighting Weekly, Episode 14. I can't make predictions. I'll make them on the next edition of the show, because the next event is UFC on FX, Belfort versus Rockhold, and that's taking place May 18th. So until then, you can follow me on Twitter. You can like my Facebook fan page. You can even check me out on YouTube. And, of course, stop by ChrisTopBlack.com. Till then, take care and enjoy your UFC.
This has been Ultimate Fighting Weekly with Chris Toplak. Thanks for tuning in.